is very special slichos. Slichos of the Yod Gimel Midos Harachne. I'm sure many of you are aware that today you send the slichos. The pizmon was Hashem began with Hashem, Hashem, Keolachon, Vechanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, Viemes, Notze Chesed, Lo Alafim, Notze Ol, Vefesha, Vechatov, Venakei, the Yod Gimel Midos Harachne. This pizmon is reserved specifically for today, for the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Today is really, to a certain degree, the climax of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, because tomorrow is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur really is tofel to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Itzumo Shel Yom brings Kapara. So the real last opportunity to do tshuva for real is today. It's a very scary day today. The eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it's a very scary day because it's really the end of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's the end of the entire process of El and Rosh Hashanah, doing tshuva. Because Yom Kippur, the truth is, you don't have to do anything. I shouldn't say that. That's not exactly true. Because generally, Itzumoi Shel Yoyin Mechaper, the essence of the day, automatically brings atonement. Man doesn't have to do as much as he would otherwise need to do. All of your preparation and what you need to do concludes pretty much today. Tomorrow also, because tomorrow is not Mamish Yom Kippur, but it's already a build-in to Yom Kippur. And what do we do on this day? What do? We pull out the big guns. When there's a war, you know, you first start with diplomacy. Nice talk. When that doesn't work, you send in warships, send in, you know, big carriers. Maybe the enemy will get a little scared. When that doesn't work, you have military exercises over the year. You see what we can do. When that doesn't work, you start shooting a few guns, a few missiles. And when nothing really works, you pull out, you know, big guns. And when that doesn't work, you nuke them. Right? That's it. You pull out the real big stuff, and it's all over. Today, you go with the Nusach HaTzila. Today is when you pull out the big stuff.
That's why I say Nila too.
Today you pull out the real heavy guns, and we pull out the ultimate weapon. The ultimate weapon is revealed today, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachnim. That is front and center. That is the highlight of the Slichus for today, because today is the Gemar of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Now there are different significant events that happen on this day. Today was the day when Avraham Avinu began his journey, according to at least one Medrash, to the Akedah. Hashem said to Avraham, Kachnas, Bincha, Sechidcha, Shehavta, Yitzchak, V'lech, L'Eretz HaMoriah, Elamokim, to the place. And how long did it take Avraham to travel?
3 days.
3 days. When was the Akedah, according to Chazal, according to a Medrash? On Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur was day 3. Erev Yom Kippur is day 2. Today, the eighth day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, is the day when Avraham set out. Vayachlish Avraham, Vayashkem Avraham, Baboiker. Vayachlishes Chamoro. Today, Zrizim Magdim Lemitzos. There's one day in the year when you should wake up early. It's too late to tell this to you now. It's really too late. It's today. Because today is the anniversary of Vayashkem Avraham, Baboiker. Vayachlishes Chamoro. It's the anniversary of Avram getting up. Zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs. It's a very significant day, and therefore that's why it's also very appropriate to us, the haschol of the Akedah. When you think about when you do a mitzvah, the ikar part of the mitzvah is the preparation. That really has the most effect upon a person as he prepares to a mitzvah. Okay, that's one very significant event that happened today. Another significant event that happened today was the Chanukah Aspayis Rishon. Shlomo HaMelech and Sefer Melachim, the inauguration, the party, the plan, the party, the inauguration of the Bayis Rishon took place today, began on the eighth day of Tishrei. It's in the Pasuk, and it's the day when Shlomo HaMelech, he made a beautiful prayer, blessed Klal Yisrael, he was with Baruch Hashem. It took place on this day, very significant day. Today is the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that history repeats itself. There's a special yearning, both from us and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that once again there should be a Bayis Shlishi, that the Mikdash shall be rebuilt with the same splendor and hoid of the Bayis Rishon. for this reason, being that it's such a significant day, some people have the custom today to fast, even those who are weak and do not fast the entire Aser Yemei Teshuva and do not fast Elul. But if there's one day that you want to fast in addition to Yom Kippur, in addition to Tzom Gedalia, those are the basics, I guess really the next best thing to do would be to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah, half a day. I guess that's Yom Kippur, of course, you have to fast. And then there is fasting Tzom Gedalia. And then I guess the next thing to do is, if you can, to fast a half a day Erev Rosh Hashanah. The next best time to fast would be today. Would be the day of the last of the Aser Yemei Teshuva before Yom Kippur. Tomorrow you're not allowed to fast. Tomorrow it's also to fast, because tomorrow is a Yom Tov. But it is a day to fast. Another thing that's done customarily, it's done by many people today, is they go to Tashlich today. Okay, many people go to Tashlich. They go to Tashlich on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's a time honored minhag from ancient times, to go to Tashlich on the first day Rosh Hashanah. But not everyone had the custom to go to Tashlich on the first day of Rosh Hashanah for a whole collection of reasons. Many reasons why not because of time, they're busy in shul. Adarabah, years ago they davening was very quick on Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't a big deal. They had plenty of time on their hands. There are different reasons why they chose Bedafka not to go on Rosh Hashanah for Tashlich. So when will they go? The next best time to go is today. Today is a day of special Hesoirus on the eighth day of Tishrei. Okay, now, what is the focus? The main focus of the day is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachim. So I want to discuss with you a few short ideas about the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachim. First of all, the number 13, I have a sefer at home, I didn't bring it because I couldn't carry all this farm. A whole sefer devoted to the Yod Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and part of that sefer he has a chapter where he shows the significance of the number 13, and it can blow your mind. I never in my life saw such a collection of 13s. Like, you know, there are a lot of svarim today that have numbers. Echad miyadeh, shnayim miyadeh, shosh miyadeh. You can go through different collections. Tell me all the 3s you know. Tell me all the 10s you know. Tell me all the 5s you know in Chazal. Okay, you can come up with a whole long list. But the number 13, the things that in Chazal have the number 13 are just mind-boggling. So one thing which caught my attention, that I can't remember all the things that I liked, is the term Melech Malchei Hamlochem. That is the way we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Melech Malchei Hamlochem has 13 letters. 13 letters. So he says there's significance. You shouldn't make light of it. It's significant because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is Rachamim. It's the Yod Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nusach HaTzilah is the Melech Malchei Hamlochem. That's the Yom Naram. It's all with the Yod Gimel Midos HaRachamim. A little bit of a remiss. Another part that's very, we say this every day, davening three times in Shacharis, is V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avon V'lo Yashchis V'Rebo Lo Yashiva Po V'lo Yair Kol Hamaso. That has 13 words. This is famous. This is well known. This is discussed at great length. There are 13 words in this pasuk. It's a very important pasuk. It's a pasuk which expresses rachamim. We ask Hashem to remove four forms of din: yichaper avon, v'lo yashchis, v'rebo lo yashiv apo, v'lo yair kol chamoso. Those are four different aspects of punishment of tzara, and we desperately want to remove, to release ourselves from these four different forms of suffering: avon, hashchasa, apo, and chema. These are four terms, and therefore, and that's all wrapped up in a prayer that has 13 words coming to express through the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. We will merit, Hashem will forgive us and remove these four forms.
Malchus,
13. Malchus, right. That's what they say. Exactly. When they administer Malchus, Malchus, there are 39 lashes. 39 is 13 times 3. And as the Shluchei Bezin, they administer, the code is V'hu Rachum Yechaper Avon. They say the Pasuk as they give each one of the lashes 3 times. We say 3 times. We say V'hu Rachum 3 times in Shachas. In Shachas, we say V'hu Rachum 3 times. And Hodu at the end of Yichavod, and Volotzion. So we say it three times, Malkus. It's that our saying it should be in place of receiving Malkus. It should be a kapara. Another nice thing I saw was al shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimed, al atoira v'al ha'avoda v'al gemilas chasadim. These three have in common the number 13, which are all interrelated. What do we mean? Al atoira. There are 13 midos of Sha'atayra Nidreshas Bohem. And this is that there are 13, the brides of Rabbi Shmuel, Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atayra Nidreshas, Kal V'chomer, Gezer Shav Beninav, so on and so forth, 13 midos. Those 13 midos also correspond, I don't know exactly how, to, there are a lot of drashos and interesting ideas, correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos Horachamim. Okay, that's Torah. Avoida. What's Avoida? Avoida is... Avoida is karbana, service. Is avoida, so according to this interpretation, means to serve Hashem. Avoida literally means karbanos. Now it's a little bit of a Jewish, it's not exactly perfect, but the ultimate karban that we bring, think about this, it's an interesting idea. What is the ultimate karban that we bring? So you'll tell me, the daven. Okay, that's true, davening is in place of karbanos. But when do we actually bring in our time, in our day and age today, a carbon to Hashem? Think about it. Do we ever sacrifice anything? We bring Hashem blood on a mizbeach? The closest thing that we do today to bring a carbon is bris milah. Because bris milah by nature is pikuach nefesh. It's sakana sefash. That's one of the things. I'm not getting into the controversy of mitzitza b'peh. You know, I'm not going there. No way. Not erev Yom Kippur. But one very interesting argument that I saw, again, don't quote me on anything, but one interesting argument I saw about is danger, mitzitza b'peh. One in who knows how many, rachman, it's no joke. If it's a person's own child, own grandchild, it's no joke, and get sick. So there's an argument. One argument I saw is, you have to understand something. The whole essence of bris milah is pikuach nefesh. Chazal say, not every child, forget about mitzitza b'peh, the disease, rachman l'tzlan, people die just from the bris milah. It's a mitzias, the Gemara says. It's a mitzias. Not every child, you don't know the child's nature. The incision, the wound can cause a child to die. And what?
That's what happened in Torah. Because they
die. They die. So, and yet the Torah says, do it. The Torah says, take the risk. I demand that you take the risk. And the consequence, and as long as, as long as you don't know for sure. So the Torah basically is telling us to put yourself in a situation where Rachmana Litzlan, again, it's no joke, if it's a person's own family member, it's no joke, it's serious business. So that means there is a risk. And it's a risk that the Torah demands one take. Okay, so you could argue, only take the risk the Torah told you to take, not to take the risk of the mitzitza b'peh. I'm not going there. But you see from this chazal, you appear to every mother. There was an interview with one of the old, he's no longer living, one of the old molim, and he was describing how the mothers, his career, how he must have done thousands of milos. And he describes that the mothers are very nervous. The mothers, like mamasha pachat, to give their child over to the moyel, give over the child, that last moment. Here it is, like they come to kvata, and you give it over. It's out of your hands. Think of the side that you talk to your wives.
Some of the mothers don't come to the bris at all.
It's frightening.
Well, that used to be the
you're giving come. Over the child. It's out of your control. They're going to something that's extremely painful for the child. And there's sakana, the child can die. And there's blood. And Chazal say, we give up our lives to you, Hashem. What is a carbon? Carbon is, really, I should give up my life to you, Hashem. Really, I should be on the Mizbech, the Akedah. Sacrifice me. But instead of sacrificing me, here's a replacement. Go take the animal as a substitute. The Bris Milah, to a certain degree, to a very large degree, is mamish a carbon. You're sacrificing, you're offering yourself, you're offering your child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avoda, that's what Avoda is. How many times in the Torah does it say Bris by Avoda?
13.
How many Brisos? 13. Ala Torah Yud Gil Midrash Atar Nidreshes Avoida. The close we have to Avoda Bizman Azez Bris Mila. Yimamish giving up your life. Yud Gimel Brisos Nichusu Bris Mila. Gimilus Chasadim. to be kind, to be generous. These are the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. There's no one that has more Rachamim than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. So you see that the whole world exists. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and each one of these things is associated with this concept called 13 Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Okay, so that's just to throw out the significance number 13. Now, this caught my attention. I enjoyed this idea very, very much, and it is far from complete. It's a half-baked var, but it opens up something, it gives you something to think about. Okay, over a long period of time, every so often you can think about it to really understand the depth. There's two great people say the same idea. One elaborates a little bit more than the other. The Marsha. You can never go wrong with the Marsha. No one can ever have tainus on you who's giving a share and saying over Marsha. Right? It'll never happen. Marsha is a Marsha. And the Shla. Shla is a little more Kabbalistic, so maybe someone but the Shla and the Marsha say exactly the same thing. And they say that the Yud Gimel Ikarim of the Rambam. The Rambam did something revolutionary. And it's very controversial what the Rambam did. And he established there are 13 principles of faith. If you don't believe in these 13 things, you're not be cursed. You don't have to believe in every single thing. Not every person is held accountable for not believing in every single thing. But if you don't believe in the 13 animanims, you got a big problem. You have a problem with religion and you got a problem. You have to work on your emunah, on your faith. You have to have emunah to have emunah. You got to work on your faith to have at least faith in these 13 principles. Along comes the Marsha, and along comes the whose idea? It doesn't say it's in the Torah. This is the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who went and invented this principle called the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 principles. And some of the Rishonim disagree. They disagree. They say, "What are you talking about? This. If a person doesn't believe in this certain thing, okay, you know he's not the traditional, but you can't say he's not Bikoyres." Can't say it's not because he doesn't. Well, you have to be mind exactly where you can differ. Okay, but of course you have to believe in all 13 animanim. So along comes Marsha and the Shla, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim directly correspond to the Yud Gimel Ikarim. When the Rambam authored the Yud Gimel Ikarim, they all are directly connected to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Now this is gold. This idea is unbelievable. Because why do I say that? Because it's very hard for me, I don't know if many people I think have the same category, to really understand the difference between Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanun. What's the difference between Rachum and Chanun? Can you explain to me the difference between Rachum and Chanun? Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Emes, Noitzer Chesed Lo Alofim, Nose Ovon, Vofesha, Vechata'o, Vinake. Can you really explain to me the differences, the specific differences between each one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim? I think by and large, the vast majority of people have a very hard time. You can translate it, maybe you can't translate it, maybe you could translate it, you can take up the article, you can buy these little contracting they sell in the store, and they translate it, they just make you more confused. What?
There certainly are enough attempts at it.
There are what?
Attempts.
But it's hard. I know, I have the books. You have these machzor. You have
the chapter on.
Yeah, the morale. In the back of the art scroll, machzor, I believe, they have an appendix where they try to, They try to go and tell you what it means exactly. It's very difficult. Let's not fool ourselves. You can translate it, but what's going on? And so that's besides the disagreement between the Rishonim. How do you number them? Right. Is Hashem one? Right. Is it start with Kel? That's itself a whole open field of what exactly. That's the five different opinions, basic opinions. But even if you take the most simplest opinion, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Emes, Notze Chesed, Lo Alofim, Notze Ovon, Vofesha, Vichata Ovin. Okay, that's the run of the mill. Try to explain to me the difference between Ovon and Nake. Try to explain Notze Ovon and Nake. What's the difference? Nake means to clean, Notze Ovon means to forgive. So the Marsha and the Shlo have done for us an incredible chesed by telling us just connect the dots. If you want a simple translation of Hashem, second Hashem, just connected to the Ani Mamins. And you'll right away have a deeper appreciation of what these words mean. And that's something very simple. Now, not very simple, because it's not obvious. I want to just run through with you very, very quickly, at least some of them. Some of them we can get a little bit of an appreciation, and some of them are still a little bit mysterious. You have to really delve into more depth to get the appreciation. The Shlag, in fact, explains each one by one. But a lot of it is very, it's very deep, so I don't really grasp what he's saying. But let's just run through, like, very quickly, just to get a little bit of an idea. Okay, the first Hashem, we all know there are two Hashems. Hashem is Koidem Achit, Hashem Achar Achit. What's the first Ani Mamin? The first Ani Mamin is Ani Mamin Shloim Hashem Yisroch Shmo Hu Boirei. He is the Creator. Umanig L'chol Habruim V'Hu Levadei Osa V'Osa V'Yase L'chol Hamasim. The basic idea: Hashem created the world. Hashem came first. Hashem came first, right? Isn't that what it's all about? Hu Boirei Umanik, He's the Creator. Hashem Koidem Achit. It's definitely, what I'm going to tell you now is not perfect, but you definitely see an opening. You see an opening, at least to get a flavor of translating the Yud Gimel Midos with a little bit more flavor. Okay, the next. Hashem is Acher Achit. The second Ani Mamin. Ani Mamin Mushleim Shabbat Yisrael Shemo Hu Yochid focuses on there's only one Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Hu Yochid, V'ein Yichidus Kamohu B'Shum Ponim, V'Hu Levadai Elokeinu Hoyahovia. What is Chet all about? Avodah Zara. It's Elohim Achim, the mother of all sins. The mother of all sins is Avodah Zara. Every time a person does a sin, he's really doing Avodah Zara. Because you're doing something strange. Avodah Zara, strange service. Hashem didn't tell you to do this. Avodah Zara, in its fullest sense, is you worship an idol. What's an idol? There's one God, Hashem, and there's another God. There's Elohim Acherim. Hashem has, after the chait, the first thing to do when you do tshuva is, you have to come back and recognize there's only one God. Ein yechidus kamo b'shum panim. Every single chait has a taste of Avodah Zarah. The essence of Avodah Zarah is duality, is Elohim Acherim. There are two gods. There's this God and there's this God. The God that I observe in shul and the God I observe when no one is watching me. Two different gods. That is the essence. Hashem has rachamim. After a person commits a chait, Hashem, the first Hashem was, that's before the chait. Acher hachait, the first way to do tshuva and to come close, and really Hashem accepts how doing tshuva is, you got to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got to go away from Avera, and that is captured in the second Ani Mamim of Ein Yechidus Kamo B'Shum Panim V'Ulavad Elokeinu HaYehovah V'Yiyah. And there's something, there's a lot, it opens up a whole new understanding of the second Hashem when you connect the dots. Okay, the third Ani, the third Midah is Kel. What is Kel? Kel means a power. This is perfect. This mamish fits like a glove. Shabbos Yisrael Shemo Ein Eguf V'lo Yasigu Masigi Haguf V'Ein Lo Shum Dinyon Klal. Hashem is Kel Elyon, like we say this in Danim. Hakel Hagadol Hagibar V'Hanayra. And then we explain what does it mean. Hashem is a Kel. He's not just Stam, an ordinary Kel, an ordinary guy. He's Kel Elyon. He's way and beyond any power you could imagine. It's exactly what it says. Kel. What does it mean, Kel? He is a power that's beyond our understanding. That's a whole different category of power, Kel. What's the third? Rachum. What is Rachum? Now, this is I don't really have a clear understanding, but you have to study. This opens up a new understanding. Shabbos Yisrael Shmo Hu Rishon V'Hu Acharon. He's first and last. Rishon, that captures, I don't know what this means, I'm just throwing out ideas for you to think about. The concept of Rachum, according to the Shlo and the Marsha, it's captured in the concept Ani Rishon V'Ani Acharon. I'll always be here for you. I'm here in the beginning, I'll be here at the end, I'm here through and through. That is an expression of Rachmanus. I guess it means that if a person is cruel, when you betray me, I'm out of here. A parent is Rachum. Why? Even after the child does the worst things, I'm still your parent. I'll still be here for you. When you're in trouble, you need some money, call me. I'll send you I'll send you the check when you need my help. I'll still be here. Ani rishon v'ani achadon. This is the ultimate form of rachmanis. It's the marsha, the shlo. Fascinating. Chanun. What does chanun mean? Next, Avinu Malkeinu. Chanun is. This makes perfect sense. It's just like a glove. The only one you pray to is Hashem. What is chanun? From the word chen, a matnas chinam, a gift. I don't deserve it. How do you gain from a Kadosh Baruch Hu gifts? Prayer. What is the koyach atfilah? Koyach atfilah, you don't demand. I did. The whole essence of prayer is have Chan, give me more than I deserve. I don't deserve it, but still give me something I don't. The koyach of tefillah is all rooted in the word chanun. Okay, next comes erech apayim. Now I don't know what this means, but it's here. It has to work, and you have to just know the deeper meaning of these words. Shekol divrei neviim emes, prophecy, and Erech apayim, patience, slowness to anger are two sides of the same coin. Why? I don't know. It's a very good topic. Very good to study what is nevuah, what exactly nivsif asayim, what's the role of a prophet, what is his function in this world, and what is the deeper meaning of erech apayim. The Marsha and the Shla telling us they're two sides of the same coin. Okay, I told you in advance, I don't know what everything means. V'rav chesed. What's Rav Chesed? Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Rav Chesed. That's what it says. Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav Hashem hois amitus v'shulchu hoye ov la'neviim la'koydim l'fonav l'abom. There's a Chazal that says that Moshe was a Chesed. He got the Torah and gave it to us. Isn't that a Chazal? That Hashem really gave the Torah to Moshe. This is a Chazal. That Hashem gave the Torah only to Moshe, and Moshe was kind. And he shared it with Klal Yisrael. I know there's a Medrash that says that somewhere. So here it ties very well. Rav Chesed, the whole focus is the role of Moshe, he's Rav Chesed. Now the MS, you cannot do better than this. The next one, number 8, is MS, Ani Mamin, Be'emunah Shlema, Shekol HaTorah HaMetzuya Bi'adeinu, Hi HaNesuna, L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom. The Torah is MS. That's number 8. The 8th animam is the Torah Zemes. Shekol HaTorah HaMetzuya Ata V'yodeinu Hi HaNesuna L'Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem. We have faith. The Torah that we have today is the same exact Torah that was given to Moshe Mitzrayim. Torah is Emes. It's not a lie. No one came along and tampered with it. That's the Midah of Emes. Next, Noitzer Chesed Lo Alofim. What is Noitzer Chesed La'alafim? This is perfect also, fits perfectly. Shezoyz HaTorah, Loitei Mukhlefes. Hashem, when Mashiach comes, is not going to give us a new Torah. He's not going to change. He's not going to exchange this Torah for a different Torah. He's not going to change the laws. The laws of Shulchan Aruch are not going to change with Mashiach. Shezoyz HaTorah, Loitei Mukhlefes. V'loitei Torah Charis Mesabar Yisrael Shemo. Noitzer Chesed La'alafim. 1,000 generations. It goes on forever. Next, now here it gets a little more complicated. Now we come to the next animamim. She'aboyre yisparach shmo yodea kol masiv ne'odam. V'chol machshev oysam. Hashem knows a person's thoughts. She'nemar hayoytzer yachad libam hamevin el kol ma'asehem. Now I don't know the deeper meaning, but that's included in the word no'sei ovon. Hashem forgives ovon. Ovon, we're connecting to the ma'aseh b'nei adam and the thoughts. I guess a person's deeds. Hashem knows about people's deeds, their evil deeds, and their good deeds as well, and their thoughts. That's called nosi avon. Next, pesha is shagbar yisbal shmo goymel toiv l'shemer mitzvaysav u'ma'anish l'oivrei mitzvaysav. Okay, I'm throwing out these words. That's called pesha. Chato'o is v'yis ha-mashiach. That's called Hashem is the no se chato'o. Hashem will forgive sin. when Hashem will forgive our sins, Mashiach will come, and v'nakei is to be clean, is tchiyas hanesim. Okay, so this is an idea. It's a very beautiful idea. It opens up, at least gives us a Pesach to attempt to understand the deeper meaning of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Now, one thing I want to mention, I don't have it worked out. You should be aware of this. We laying this on the Haftorah on Shabbos Shuva. Mikel Kamocha. Mikel Kamocha, it's in Micha Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ches. So the Pesukiv of Mikel Kamocha, Micha, his words also correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Plus his words are Micha Perek, the wrong Perek, it's Perek Ches. Mikel Kamocha. I can't seem to find it. Here it is. Mikel Kamocha. Now it's not in order. You have to study. I don't have all the details in front of me, but it's just something we should be aware of. When else do we say these pesukim? We say the davening. We say mincha when?
Yom Kippur.
Okay, and at the end of the haftarah, after Yonah.
After Yonah, then you say
Mikel Kamocha. So that's why we're saying it. Why are we saying Mikel Kamocha on Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur, you pull out the big guns. You're pulling out the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. You say by Ne'ilah, you say Hashem Karachem Echanim, part of the Pizmoin of Yom Kippur, Yom Bav Ne'ilah. But before you even come to Ne'ilah, you come to Mincha, to the Kriyas HaTorah. Mikel Kamocha, no si avon, we love al pesha, lishes nach laso, lay hecher ziklo an apo, he chot it's chesed hu, yoshu virachamenu, yichvash avon, seinu visashtoch bim tzulosim kol chatosam. Yeah, all of those words, each one of those words, each one of those expressions, directly corresponds to one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Chazal say he composed it based upon, so it's another form of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Now let me tell you one other vart, which a little bit of it's a drush. On Rosh Hashanah we blow shof. Now a little bit of a step back. Where in the Torah do we find the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chedor Egel. Moshe, it's a very long, very difficult psukim. We learn this on Shabbos Chalamoid. Chalamoid Pesach, Chalamoid Sukkis, where Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Shemami, pleads on their behalf. So first thing that Moshe does is he says, Zuchor la'Avraham li'Yitzhak u'li'Yakov. And then Moshe realizes that the day is going to come when Zuchus Ovos Tamu. The day is going to come. It worked right away by the Egel. Hashem forgave Klai Shol as soon as he said, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They were already forgiven. The Moshe says, what's going to be in the future? In the future, they're surely going to sin. And by that time, Tamu Zuchus Avos, what's going to be? So Moshe asks Hashem, Hareini Noes Kvodecha. Give me a solution, give me a tool, how we can do tshuva even when we're not going to have the Zuchus Avos. So Hashem says to him, go into the rock, in the crack, and the ani avir kol tuvi al panech. All of my goodness is going to pass before you. And Chazal explained the words kol tuvi allude. I'm going to teach you the yud gimel midos harachanim. And indeed, Hashem passes, and we have the words there. Hashem, Hashem, kol rachanim chanim. You have to say the pesukim. Everything fits into place. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the yud gimel midos harachanim when he passed. As the Shechina passed over Moshe. But again, the introduction, the prediction that is going to be the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim with the words, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. Yeah?
In the Pidmo, Yud Gimel Midos.
Yeah?
Isn't there a mention of Yisrobos?
That also, in Echanami.
It's right.
Okay. I hear the question. Okay, I'm very low. I hear the question. I don't know the answer. Okay, but the word kol tuvi alludes to the yud gimel midos racham. Chazal say if a person is spouting yud gimel midos racham with kavana, he's guaranteed that Hashem will not turn him away empty-handed. Now, why do I bring out the word kol tuvi? Here we're coming to the end. Because on Rosh Hashanah, what do we do? What is the main avodah of Rosh Hashanah? To blow shofar. When you blow shofar, what sound are you producing? What sound? Take the 22 letters of the Aleph. Each one of the letters of the Aleph Beis produces a different sound. A, B, G, D, H. the right? Every, when you blow the shofar, what sound does the shofar make? A gimel? A zayin? A resh?
Tess.
The sound that comes out of the shofar is the sound of it. The proof is look in Shulchan Aruch. It says it's always spelled tut, tutu, tutu, how they describe it. It's always a tess. It's really a gemara. The gemara says tut. The gemara describes the sound of the shofar with the letter tess, vav, tess. The gemara, tut, tess. The letter tess. What is the letter tess? Tov. The first time the letter tess appears in the Torah is the word tov. When you are blowing shofar, what are you really blowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tov. You're begging Hashem, please grant us tov. When you blow tekiya gedoyla, what are you blowing? Tov ma'od. When all the tekiyas are vayalakim etzkol asher asavi hinei, first you have vayalakim ki tov. Monday does it. Tuesday, tov, tov. Wednesday, tov, tov. And then when it's all over, Vayalakim es kol asher asavi hinei tov ma'od. Tov ma'od is the tekiya gedola. So Rosh Hashanah, it's tov. At the end of Rosh Hashanah, it's tov ma'od. But there's an expression that's even more powerful than tov ma'od. You know what that is? Kol tuvi. Tov ma'od means a lot of good. But kol tuvi, that's a whole different magic. All of my good. All of my good is better than a lot of good. Okay, sometimes a lot is not good. Sometimes too much is no good. Yom Kippur is the avoider of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachanim. That's what it's all about. That's why today, in Hakdama, we say the Yud Gimel, Yom Kippurim, the Pizman of Yom Kippurim, Hashem Hashem. The avoider of Yom Kippur, Roshana, the avoider is Shofar. Tov, Tov Me'od. But we come to the end of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we come to the finale, we Mevakesh, we don't just want Toiv, we don't just want Toiv Me'od, we want nothing less than Hashem Avir Kol Tuvi. That's how the Yom Tov, they all come, they connect together. Have a wonderful Yom Kippurim, have an easy fast, a meaningful fast, a Gemachas in the Toiv, a Gugu Ben Shiar, Hatzlocha, Kol Manyanim.
Thank you for all the chasam.